We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
We don't have government of the people, by the people, for the people. We have government of the people, by the bureaucrats, for the bureaucrats.
You don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat. You can be whatever you want to be. Just go and fight for your beliefs and be as independent as you can.
This is the episode where people are going to think I'm a godless liberal, but, you know, worse things have happened. It's the day of the big game as we're recording it, and I say the big game because I can't call it what it actually is because the NFL has learned from Disney when it comes to copyright, so if you call
Seriously, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, that's why you see in advertisements and stuff, the big game, it's very, very trademarked or copyrighted or patented. One of those things about intellectual property.
Oh, so we're not allowed to say it at all.
I mean, the likelihood of them coming after a podcast is infinitesimal.
We have dozens of listeners. You have no idea.
There are dozens of us.
Dozens.
Anyway, so during the big game, two football teams are playing, the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. And this has sparked a bit of a conversation about cultural appropriation. And cultural appropriation is one of those things that just... I don't think there is really a great discussion to be had about it, not because I don't think it's a topic worth discussing, but because I think it's one of those things that people have such strong feelings about either way that it tends to go downhill really quickly. And I also think that this is, at least from my perspective, one of the things that Tumblr has been allowed far too much say in, and actual social science far too little, and we've just all retreated into the ivory tower. So when people hear the word cultural appropriation, they rebel against an absurd definition instead of understanding what it is we tend to talk about. So one of the things about the Chiefs is they do use a lot of Native American imagery. They have their famous tomahawk chop as part of their fan culture. They will wear pseudo Native American war paint. They will wear pseudo Native American headdresses. And this is found offensive by many Native Americans. It's not even close to the list of top 10 things that they get ticked off about. There are way worse things to be concerned about. And I'm not just saying this as the white male who has my finger on the beating pulse of Native American culture. I'm saying this like having heard them talk about it at OU. But it is something I think that's worth discussing. And is this something that we should maybe hear Native Americans out when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, when it comes to the, Washington Redskins?
Washington Redskins.
Okay, cool. You can tell I am an avid fan of American football.
Oh, yeah.
This also came up with the Cleveland Indians, who 2 years ago now, but really only about a year ago, in late 2018, they retired their Chief Wahoo mascot. And there have been several other teams that have used Native American imagery and are now backing off. But the Chiefs aren't really one of those, so people have gotten upset. So, Clicker, what do you think about cultural appropriation?
Cultural appropriation is a crock of you-know-what. I do not believe in it whatsoever. You are right. I think that it has been completely overused. It's been overused to the point that I think we need to throw it in the same bin as nationalism. That it's just been so perverted that it will be impossible for us to have a real discussion about it because of how awful it is.
Well, what do you think about when you think about cultural appropriation, and like what debate is there going on in your head? What to your mind is someone talking about when they say cultural appropriation?
Webster's Dictionary. I did look up the actual definition of to appropriate so that I would be correct in my assumptions here. And it is to take something for one's own use, typically without the owner's permission. So cultural appropriation is to take the culture without an owner's permission and use it for your own gain. And there are all sorts of silly examples, like that one girl, I forget what West Coast city she was from, that had on a Chinese dress for her prom.
Yeah.
And Twitter got mad. Those two white girls in Portland who owned a taco truck, but because they were white, they could not do that. The black lady in San Francisco that yelled at a white person for wearing dreadlocks, stuff like that. And I think that it's absolutely ridiculous because nobody owns a culture. even if you had every single person in a certain racial demographic or who believed a certain thing, you don't own that culture. That is not something that people are capable of owning. They can change it, absolutely. Cannot own it. And therefore, for people to become offended by something that they don't feel is correct, that's okay. But what you cannot do is, in your desire to change the way that somebody is acting about a certain culture, you cannot say, well, that is my culture, and you cannot do something with it that I disapprove of. So you can't get mad about cultural appropriation. However, and I am not so dumb as to think that every single time somebody has done something from a different culture, it's okay. There can be things in bad taste. Minstrel shows in super bad taste. Blackface is not appropriate. A lot of propaganda that the U.S. had during World War II with their horribly racist Japanese caricatures. Totally unacceptable. The Siamese cats in, oh, that one Disney movie. No, it's not the Aristocats.
It's the Lady and the Tramp.
Lady and the Tramp. The Siamese cats in Lady and the Tramp. Inappropriate, but because of poor taste. That is what gets me, is that you go, oh, come on. That is just done to mock someone's culture and not in good faith. So, for instance, I'm a part of nerd culture. I like a lot of nerd stuff. Well, when I see some actor on screen going, well, according to my calculations, I don't get mad at it. They're not appropriating my culture. They're mocking it and having a little bit of fun at my expense. And you know what? Some person wearing super thick glasses with a pocket protector, that's kind of funny. Not super funny, but kind of funny. The exact same thing with the Kansas City Chiefs tomahawk chop. They're not doing it because they want to mock their mascot. They chose the mascot Chief because it's a symbol of great warriors. Whether or not that is true, that's the reason that they chose it. And the tomahawk chop is a super, super intimidating motion that they all do, especially when there is an entire stadium full of people doing it, that is supposed to demoralize the enemy team. Much how perhaps the Native Americans didn't do a tomahawk chop such as that, but they did do all sorts of things that were supposed to demoralize the enemy. University of Arizona, for instance, does the Maori haka, that war dance, before every single game. They have some Maori people on there, but there are also a bunch of whites doing the haka. Some of them are doing it more gracefully than the Maori players. That's not appropriation. Whether or not they have permission, they're just doing the thing, and it's done in good taste. So that's my 5.5 cents on the matter.
Well, I think you hit on a couple of interesting things. So, yes, that may be Webster's Dictionary's version or definition of appropriation, and it's a fine one. But again, we're talking social science, where we take words and we do add extra meanings and constraints on them when they're in the scientific operationalization of the phrase.
No, I'm gonna gag.
It's how things have to work. Like, if I study honor culture, Well, unfortunately, people do this all the time. But when I say, "Hey, honor has negative consequences," and they're like, "Well, that's not honor to me." And I'm like, well, frankly, I couldn't care less if I tried about what honor is to you. This is the phrase we use. This is what I study. If you don't like it, take it up with the APA. But, you know, we do operationalize things. And I will agree with you, because you brought up some of these examples of cultural appropriation, quote unquote. And that's generally not, I'm not going to say never not, because I'm sure you could find someone in the academy who would agree with this. In fact, I'm sure if I thought long and hard enough, I could. But when we actually tend to talk about a cultural appropriation, we're not just talking about, say, white people wearing kimonos, which is actually a really controversial topic in reverse, because a lot of Japanese people have spoken out on this and said, actually, we love to see other people wearing kimonos because it's generally done respectfully. We love to see there was a white girl who wanted to have a Japanese tea ceremony for her birthday, and a bunch of Asian Americans rallied around her and said she wants to have an actual tea ceremony. That's cultural appreciation, not appropriation, because she's not saying, oh, we're going to do this tea ceremony and pretend like we're Japanese and play fast and loose with it or anything like that. We're going to respectfully engage with another culture.
And this is my point. Apologize for the mild language, but just use the damn culture if you want to, and consequences be damned. It's your own choice.
But I think you brought something up that we would agree with in this in the social science community about the importance of good taste and the importance of intent, but also how you do it and how it's perceived by other people. If people want to engage with another culture, I think that's wonderful. And I think you'd be hard pressed to find any member of any culture who doesn't want to see people engage with their culture. What people tend to get more upset about and what they call appropriation as opposed to appreciation is when you turn something very culturally emblematic basically into a costume or a toy when it has a lot of meaning. And it gets compounded when the culture you're taking that from has been oppressed. So for instance, sexy Native American outfits. You know, the idea that, oh, well, I'm going up dressing up as an Indian for Halloween, her. And, you know, it's the typical, I mean, Pamela Anderson did this like a year ago, basically no clothes on, wearing a war bonnet. And it basically becomes something that's very culturally important to somebody else. I don't need to engage with it respectfully because I just think it's fine to mess around with it. It is that idea, I think, of taste, of good taste and bad taste. And I think, because you also mentioned like blackface and minstrel shows, I think en masse, we've kind of realized that there are a lot of things that aren't okay. And I think we need to just be receptive to certain other things people might be a little bit upset with. On the other hand, I will agree that there people, the Tumblr crowd and the SJW crowd, and I use SJW ironically, aren't doing any favors to how this topic gets taken, saying that white girls shouldn't wear hoop earrings. There are levels of absurdity, but I do think that there's, especially with Native Americans, that they have a valid grievance for how a lot of these things are used, especially considering the current problems faced by many First Nations and Native American peoples on the American continent.
And none of that is going to be healed by getting rid of the Kansas City Chiefs. The admittedly very real and very horrible abuse and dishonor that has happened to the Native Americans is not going to be healed because we made sure the Kansas City Chiefs are being politically correct. That's not going to happen. That's ridiculous.
I think it's a small step forward. Even just trying to take a step inside and understand why some natives are so offended by this. I mean, there's a Mohawk journalist named Vincent Schilling who, I mean, when he was asked, what did he think about it? He did say he doesn't hate Chiefs fans. He doesn't think that they're bad people or anything like that. But he said, my grandma couldn't even share what she was, really, but they can do a stereotype of it and tell me to be honored by it. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just not going to be. You know, at the same time, people have both when these teams historically took these names and now, and they say they're honoring Native Americans, there have been a lot of problems and a lot of continuing problems. There's a lot of historical pain that I think needs to be addressed. At the very least, we could talk about how a lot of the treatment of Native Americans has always been commodifying them in public and then treating them like crap in private. I'll make a reference to somebody who made it onto, I believe, both of our worst presidents lists. Was Theodore Roosevelt on yours?
Oh, yeah.
He was on mine. Theodore Roosevelt had Geronimo, the famous Apache chief, ride in his inaugural parade because he liked the image. Basically, I don't remember the exact quote from him when he was challenged on this, but it was a 19th century version of saying, I think it's cool. It gives a good impression. But he also, as president, said the quote, I won't go so far as to say the only good Indian is a dead Indian. But I will say that's probably true for 9 out of 10 of them, and I have my doubts about that last one. So there's a long history of commodifying Native Americans and using the things of them that we find positive, and then still treating them like crap. You know, everyone learns and has learned for ages about, oh, look how wonderful Squanto was. And people think they learn about Pocahontas. They don't, but no. They think they do.
No.
you know, these were the good Indians, but then there were the savages. I mean, it's even in the Declaration of Independence, right? The merciless Indian savages. So I can understand why this may just be the latest thing where natives are just like, enough is enough. You've been commodifying us for years while ignoring our problems. Would you consider maybe stopping? And I think they could have a valid point. So I don't think it's going to heal the wounds, but it could be a good first step.
A discussion, maybe, but... And this is, it can be seen as horrible of me. Native Americans also have to approach this in good faith. There has been a lot of bad faith acting on a lot of Native American special interest groups that saying that whites are using this for racist means. And while I do not try to take away from the obvious suffering that they have had inflicted upon them, that's not the case. And if discussions are going to be had in bad faith, then there should be no discussions at all, because it will be even worse than not having the discussions in the first place. I'm not saying it won't happen, but there needs to be good faith and reasonable good intentions on both sides.
So what do you think, quote unquote, good faith would look like?
So good faith, mostly I think about this. A really great example is the people that Nathan Phillips were in during the Covington Catholic case. The Native American advocacy group that guy was in. Most Native American advocacy groups, when the Covington Catholic boys were accused of being racist, they came out and said, this is just typical behavior for white people. This is stuff that we see all the time. And while I am sure that there are white people that treat Native Americans like that, most people I know don't act that way. Almost every single kid that I teach about the horrors of the Native American suffering get a real uneasy look on their face, and they go that I'm really not okay with what we've done here. But there doesn't seem to be that understanding from a lot of Native American advocacy groups that you see in the media. Those same groups, by the way, that keep demanding the Washington Redskins change their name. And so if this is going to work, and I think that it's a great idea that there is dialogue out there, if this is going to work, we have to sit down at the table and go, we understand that some of the stuff we do might be offensive to you. Can you understand that we are not doing it to be offensive? And then let's work to see what we can deal with.
I'm going to push back there a little bit. And I can't put myself in the shoes of a Native American person. That's just totally outside of my experience. And I agree with you, a lot of people doing this, they aren't meaning to be racist, they're not bad people. And even then, there's the definition of racist. You know, again, this is one of those words that racism, everyone has that revulsion inside them. They don't want to think of themselves as being racist, when the truth is we're all a little bit racist. But because the cultural ethos is such as if you do one racist thing, you have lost your human value. We can't have a good faith discussion about it because it's all about virtue signaling and showing that you aren't racist, even though everyone has some sort of stereotype or some sort of prejudice. That's just how schemas work. It's part of our automatic processing that we derive stereotypes. But the fact that people don't mean to be offensive with something can often, I would say, be kind of a small comfort. Speaking as someone with Jewish ancestry, you know, people... Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib come to mind. Both of those women had the chutzpah to, on Holocaust Memorial Day, they dared to basically say, oh yes, we stand with the Jewish people. And I'm like, you don't give a crap about the Jewish people. You have both come out as such ardent anti-Semites. It's like, well, we don't mean to be offensive when we use these words and these phrases about that have a long history of anti-Semitism, the idea that Jews secretly control the economy, the idea that Jews are really just Israelis in diaspora, that there is no loyalty to their own country. They just all want to go back to Israel. There does come a point where it's like, well, I know you didn't mean to be offensive, but it's offensive. It's the same thing in interpersonal discussions. You know, you can hurt someone's feelings accidentally, but if you hurt their feelings, I don't think it's always helpful to say, well, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. The first thing you have to do is say, I'm sorry, I hurt your feelings.
See, yes, it is important on there because you react differently in certain ways. And you can also tell when someone's being sincere. I got a lot of kids who goof up and they go, well, I didn't mean to. And I tell them it doesn't matter. But in a lot of times when they know that they've goofed up and they actually didn't mean to, they're eager to make corrections. a lot of the resistance that you see from people when, oh, I didn't mean to, and they're defiant, is because, oh, I'm sorry that I said something that offended you, I didn't mean to, doesn't matter, change your way of speaking. The social justice warriors have polluted this issue so much that it is almost impossible to come to a good middle ground on this issue. Sometimes you're going to be offended. Get over it. You are not entitled to any sort of protected mental state. And if somebody has said something that you find offensive, you are well within your rights to say, hey, I don't appreciate what you said. Could you please not? Because I found it very racist and offensive. There are a couple of reactions they can make. I think most decent people, like I think you and I would both go, I am so sorry. I'll refrain from that. I might go so far as to say, so what did I do that was bad? I don't understand it, and I want to make sure I don't do it again. But you also have to understand that some people will be like, kiss my you-know-where. I'm not changing. And you have to be okay with that. You do, because you have no right to tell people what they can and cannot think.
I don't think that in any of this discussion we should be thinking about getting the government involved. Well, except for some of the tangential issues where the government is the problem, like, you know, the way the government has treated Native Americans for the past several hundred years. But I do think that, you know, even when I bring this up to some people, you know, I'm like, hey, yeah, they're very surprised because, you know, I'm a conservative. And I'm like, no, I'm a libertarian. Please don't conflate the two. But, you know, I'm the conservative. And they're going, well, wait, you think the Redskins should change their name? And I'm like, or you think the Chiefs should change their name? You think you should not do this? And I'm like, of course I think you shouldn't do this. I think the answers I tend to get are, well, but we like doing it. We have a lot of pride, and we don't mean to offend them. We're trying to honor them. And I agree with you that that people who take this position should show the harm a lot better. In fact, that's what I can do for you now. And the fact is that empirically, whatever the intention of these stereotype-driven mascots, names, team practices, fan practices are, whatever the intention, they do tend to empirically lead to people having more stereotype and prejudice-driven pictures of Native Americans. And a lot of them are, in fact, like, dehumanized. There's a lot of that idea of them as the noble savage, or the image of Native Americans from the environmental ads, you know, don't make this Native American cry, pick up your trash. There's this idea of them as almost like druids from Dungeons and Dragons, instead of people with feelings and emotions as intense and real as actual humans. You see the very same thing in the literature on sexism. White knight types who, you know, say, oh, I love women. I absolutely respect women. You know, women are better than men. But then they don't treat women very well. Positive stereotypes can yield actual negative attitudes and negative behaviors towards people. So I do think there's scientific evidence out there, and just the fact that people are offended, that should mean that our first response shouldn't be, but I like the team name, or but I didn't mean to offend.
People can be offended. People can be offended by a lot of stuff. I'm sure we're going to be triggering some person here. And the fact that we are saying all of this today may drive someone deeper into their Native American prejudice, where they are breathlessly Googling whatever InfoWars articles they can to find more stereotypes about Native Americans. That doesn't matter. It shouldn't go into consideration. It's a statement, not a punch. Don't take it so hard. Not our problem. Not our business. And if you are going to be racist for the small reason that you heard something and you took a joke or some insensitive phrase to heart and it defines your ideology, you got bigger issues at play here.
I think people don't tend to realize how things like mascots or, I mean, there's the entire idea of priming, right? We tend to think that, you know, I am an individual, I can control myself, I am in charge of my own actions. But a lot of the thinking that we do is automatic. A lot of the thoughts and attitudes we come to are automatic. We don't have the cognitive resources to think deeply about everything about us. And so for me, I do think that these mascots and these practices, whatever their intention, are harmful. And I see that in the research, that these are not people sitting there going, I hate Native people. They're not sitting there going, I hate Native Americans and I want to see them suffer. But by engaging with this fan culture, by this being the only way in which they encounter Native Americans, it leads to concrete attitudinal and behavioral outcomes that are undesirable.
No, you keep saying, did you say can or does?
I said can because not everyone is going to be primed this way, but a lot of people are.
Well, a lot of people are. A lot of people are idiots. A lot of people shouldn't have guns, but we're definitely going to allow anyone who wants to have guns. Some people will also have great reactions to it. I remember when I was a little kid and I had no idea what a Redskin was. I read a little bit about him. It got me some of my first exposure to Native Americans, and not even in a harmful or stereotypical way. You cannot censor this stuff because people may be using it in the wrong way. We have a duty as individuals to help other individuals come to proper and good conclusions. We shouldn't be forcing a team to change its ways because other people are ruining their fun. Well, and you know what I mean by fun. I'm not saying that they're taking glee out of naming this. I hope you know that what I mean by fun.
No, yeah, I understand. I think that one of the things about liberty is that we have to use it correctly. And I'm not saying we have to censor the Redskins or we have to censor the Chiefs. What I'm talking about here with the right exercise of liberty is just I think that we should be encouraging the appropriate use of images of Native Americans. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying I have a problem with how the Redskins and how the Chiefs behave. I think you should stop. I don't think there's anything wrong with using social pressure to try to change people's ways if we think they're offensive. You know, I don't have any problem with the fact that Paula Deen's career is basically over because of what she said about African Americans.
And what a wonderful way to make sure that redemption never happens either.
There can be personal redemption, but I think that you what are you going to say that she shouldn't be punished for saying these things?
I never said that, but I don't enjoy that people are very, very happy that this happened to her.
I'm not happy.
It felt a little. You said that you were okay with that sort of stuff there. I did not hear a whole lot of regret that the situation happened. It gets 1984-esque when you start punishing people for this stuff.
Cool. The problem is that you can either go, you say it goes 1984, but on the other hand, you know, I as a private company, you know, if I had employees or if I had a grad student who said something like that, I'd be like, so long. You are not, you know, free speech doesn't mean freedom from consequences. And I don't think it's great that it happened to Paula Deen, but I'm not upset with it, and I'm okay with it, and I'm not rejoicing in it. But what she said was horrible. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying if you do something we think is unacceptable, you're gonna get punished for it. If somebody's a Holocaust denier and their employer wants to fire them, I'm like, okay, fire them. And I think we should have the same attitudes towards sports teams like the Chiefs or the Redskins, where it's like, hey, we think you should change what you're doing. Why wouldn't you change your name? Sports teams with long histories change their names all the time. It's how the Washington Nationals became a thing. I don't think this is going to hurt anyone by having them change their name. And I think it could only have positive outcomes.
I don't, and it's not because I think that a name change would be bad. There's nothing wrong in and of itself with the name change. But the arguments that people have been making and the social justice, cultural appropriation accusations that are going on right now, this only justifies and legitimizes what they feel is cultural appropriation.
But in this case, I think they're right.
Good. And this victory will definitely not be abused and taken to an illogical extreme.
That you can make that argument about almost anything, though. I mean, that and I'm not saying you'd ever say this. I want to preface that, like, you would. I know you. You'd never say this, but that was what. I mean, we before the episode, you said, "Wow, I didn't think we'd disagree on anything more than Jefferson," but here we go. I mean, that's one of the things about Jefferson. I do agree with you, and I think is terrible about him is his views on slavery were cowardly. He was like, "This will just not end well. I'd rather the slaves were freed, but I don't want to face what that would look like. It could be abused. Anything can be abused, but sometimes it's the right thing to do in either case. And I think here it's the right thing to do. I think we should use social pressure to just make it plain that there are certain things that culturally shouldn't be acceptable anymore. And I think this about plenty of things. Sports teams is just one example of it. I think the same thing about, you know, over-sexualization of women in movies and video games. It's why I'm a lot more careful about what games I play and what movies I see. It's why I'm glad that Phoebe Waller-Bridge is writing, or has helped to write, she has done writing, the new James Bond movie. I'm glad to see these things move forward. I'm glad that it's not that certain things that were acceptable, we've realized as a culture, are no longer acceptable. And I just want to see the treatment of Native Americans move into that sphere.
And I stand firmly by my position that the stuff like that in today's current climate would be horribly abused. And the cure in its current form is worse than the disease.
So would you say that we basically should stay with the status quo?
Absolutely not. But there needs to be rational discussion taking place, and there is none. For the exact same reason that had there been a major slave revolt before the war, I would have advised Lincoln against, or during the war, I would have advised Lincoln against freeing the slaves because of the damage that it had done to the South. There's a time and a place for this. And if we cave in to political correctness at this point in time, even for perfectly valid reasons, the damage and the precedential change that takes place will be awful. Do not take this as me saying, oh, there should have been people in slavery. But if you free them at the wrong time or doing so the wrong way, things get worse than they could have been. They're racist Jim Crow laws. Horribly evil thing. The North just said, let's send federal troops down there and enforce martial law until things get better. It solves it in the meantime, but the moment those federal troops left the American South, things got worse than they were before. Because there had been no planning going in, because people said, this is the right thing to do and it must be done immediately. You need to think about this before this stuff goes into place. And maybe that's unpopular, but I have seen enough to, well, I have not personally seen, I have read about enough times in American history where people did all the right things for all the right reasons at the wrong time, and it backfired horribly.
See, for me, though, I think you could always make the argument it's not the right time. Like, we need to do it later. I think it's a slippery slope there, because then it could easily become, well, you know, now we'll be giving in to the SJWs. But it's like, okay, but the SJWs aren't going away. If anything, I think it could be a good faith gesture in saying, hey, we agree with you up to a point. We're willing to talk about this because you've brought to the table concrete harms, which there are, from this, and we want to engage with you.
And every single time that we have done that with the social justice cause, we have given them an inch and they have taken a mile. You say that mine's a slippery slope. Be that as it may, I firmly believe that your slope is both slipperier and steeper. And I'm not saying that things shouldn't change. I'm advocating for calm, measured, deliberative dialogue from both sides, where we come to the table both in good faith and willing to change, and then come with a solution. The way you're talking about this is that we concede something with the current attitude that social justice warriors have right now, and that doesn't tell them that, oh, we're doing this in good faith, we should back off. It says our tactics are working, let's push for more.
I think when it comes to something like the Chiefs or the Redskins, because I haven't heard anything from the pro side in this that to me seems admissible. It's basically been, well, but people don't mean to be racist. And it's like, okay, well, you know, a lot of people didn't mean to be racist throughout history. They still were. I don't buy the argument that, oh, well, anti-Semitism hadn't emerged as an ideology yet, so what Martin Luther says in The Jews and Their Lies is acceptable. I'm like, no, it is the epitome of unacceptable. He was a horrible man. Those were horrible things to say. When it comes to something like this with the Chiefs, whether or not you intend good, we can say, okay, you're intending good. We're not saying you're horrible people, but we'd still like you to change. The only things I've basically heard are we don't mean anything by it, or we're trying to honor you, or we like our traditions and we're making money off of them. And I don't think any of those are admissible.
That's their argument. However, I made sure that I said when people come to the table for discussions, they are willing to change. There is a willingness to think about whether or not this is okay.
I think that there's been an unwillingness by many to hear what people have had to say on this issue. It's one of the reasons I think SJWs, quote unquote, have become so radicalized.
And do you think on this side, this Native American side that you're taking, and I call it Native American side for this ease of labeling, Do you think that there is nothing that the Native Americans can say where they might go, you know, perhaps we were being a little bit too overzealous about this. This isn't a big deal.
I don't think they necessarily need to if they truly are that offended.
This is the issue. If white people are coming to the table and saying, we are willing to discuss any changes that may need to be made, and one side is saying, nope, we have nothing to offer, we have nothing that we need to change our minds on, no wonder things are rough in America right now.
I think that when it comes to a group of people having their culture basically being used for commercial purposes, I think you could say that they are the victims here. And I also think that one, and it's not just with this issue, it's with a lot of issues. One of the reasons I think things have gotten so bad is because, well, I'll admit, political correctness has just become too much. Like, and I think most people secretly believe that political correctness has just gone out of control. But on the other hand, anti-political correctness, I think, has also gotten out of control. The term politically correct has just become a shield for people to be jerks. Like, oh, I'm just being politically incorrect. I'm like, no, you're not. You're being a jackass. And I think that at least with this issue, and with I would honestly say with many others, there's a difference between politically incorrect and being in outright bad taste.
And what do you think would be more effective at helping people to not be so much of a jerk? By being this militant, politically correct police and coming at it from an attitude of you are a sinner in need of change, or coming to them from a very rational point of view and saying, hey, this isn't really okay. I'd like to have a discussion with you about why this might not be acceptable. Because option number one is what most people seem to be doing right now. Option number two is what will get things done.
I mean, I obviously would go for option number two.
But this isn't what you're advocating for right now. The Native Americans have nothing to apologize for. They have been repressed this entire time. And if you come into that discussion of people trying to get rid of the Kansas City Chiefs or Washington Redskins logo of I'm an oppressed person talking to my oppressor and I will have justice done, there will be no justice. Guarantee you that.
I think that in this case, the Native Americans are the oppressed people, though. I just don't think that's really that debatable. I mean, the history of Native American treatment in this country is abominable.
No, absolutely, absolutely deplorable. And because you have your righteous cape on and it's there and we are all acknowledging that persecution, nothing will change. There's no room for reconciliation there. The very first thing, one of my favorite African-American civil rights leaders of all time, Booker T. Washington, said, look, we have been oppressed. We have been kept down. All of this awful stuff that the white people have done to us is terrible. Forget it all. It does not help you anymore. All of the awful things they do can either choose to affect you or they cannot choose to affect you. What we need to do right now is give them a tabula rasa, a blank slate, and work with them as partners so we can both be better people moving forward from this. And it worked effectively for a very long time.
I think it was a very different situation. There had been a massive social change with the 13th Amendment, with the freeing of slaves. I think with the way Native affairs stand, it's the same thing like with, you know, with National Holocaust Remembrance Day and the Poles and the Polish national government. They basically, if you go to Auschwitz, it's basically a giant, weren't we poor and oppressed? No one has been more poor and oppressed than the Poles. Well, as a matter of historical fact, you frickin' Polish people en masse cooperated with the Nazis when it came to Jew persecution. They loved it. They hated Jews as much as the Germans did. So for me, it's not Booker T. Washington may not be the best comparison. It may be more like how Jews were treated by and continue to be treated by European powers. When Dachau was liberated, the West German government wanted to basically say, well, that was the Nazis. We're not the Nazis. So we don't really need to apologize. We don't need to change anything. We're just going to demand the blank slate and not change any of our behavior. And it took Jews and other victims of the camps basically making a massive stink and saying, no, it may be a new government, but it's the exact same people who let Dachau be built in their backyard. You will remember what you did. You will go look at those ovens. You will acknowledge that something bad happened here. I think that it sometimes lies on the people with power to say, yep, we've been being jerks and we should change our behavior.
For I think you'll be waiting for a long time. For a long time and for nothing to change. Because the more that happens, the more people will just throw on their righteous cape on both sides of the issue and nothing will get done because nobody is willing to admit to be the first person to admit that they were a stubborn idiot and that things are we have much more in common than we have apart. That is how I see the end of that discussion right there.
And I think the Native Americans are the ones who've been wronged, and I don't think that the victims of something of mistreatment should have to apologize here.
Nope, and I'm not saying that I have never once said that they need to apologize. That's not what I'm saying. They have nothing to apologize for. They need to be willing to forgive. And if not forget, I'm not saying that they should forget. They will at least need to be willing to be able to let these new white people give it their best shot without preconceived notions of what's going to happen.
Changes like getting rid of the Redskins and the Chiefs would be a good faith act from white people. And again, this is the entire episode, we've been using very collective terms, and obviously there's going to have to be individual action that takes place. But I think that we have to be able to acknowledge when even the people we dislike are right about things. I don't like Karl Marx, but he was right about the treatment of workers in his society, the crony capitalism that had taken off there. He was right. I don't think we have to say that he was wrong about that. We don't have to react just because people we don't like are saying something. I think we have to acknowledge that they're right up to a point and change the behavior, but also be willing to say, okay, but no farther.
So here's what the social justice warriors are right on in this situation. There is a lot of stuff that is being done in poor taste, and it helps no one. How they wish to change it, how they wish for people to censor themselves afterwards, and just about everything else besides the fact that things need to change, is wrong.
I would say that when it comes to this particular issue, the only thing they really seem to have asked is, hey, could you change the team names and stop using our culture for sports chants? I think that when it comes to this specific thing, you know, we are dealing with the free market of ideas here. Being willing to consider all of these ideas and figure out what do we agree with, what do we not, is important. And when it comes to the Native American mascots issue, and as I've said throughout the entire episode, so we're risking getting ad nauseum here, I think they have a point and I do agree with them. I hope we can say that we've agreed to amicably disagree on this topic.
Yeah, I don't hate you. We look at this. We both came into this discussion with good faith and understand that stuff needs to change. So not all hope is lost.
Fair enough. If you have thoughts about political correctness, if you'd like more resources on the research surrounding the specific issue of Native American mascots, etc., do feel free to reach out to us on social media. Do check out the show notes. I'll be posting some links there. Otherwise, we'll talk to you next week. Take care, guys. Thanks for listening to the Life, Liberty, and Pursuit of Snarkiness podcast. If you like what you heard, please consider giving us a like or a share on social media, or leaving us a review on the podcasting platform of your choice. You can reach us at our Facebook at Liberty Snark, or visit our website at libertysnarkpodcast.com. Thank you guys so, so much for listening.